We're doing Tanya 200, and we're up to chapter 36 in Tanya. To review the previous chapter, the Rebbe says that in making a dwelling place for God in the lower world, we need primarily action, more even than the study or the love of God or the study of Torah. And he quotes from the Zohar. The Zohar says, there's a verse in the Torah that describes the wise person. Who is wise? Chacham. What is a chacham? The chacham has his eyes in his head. And the Zohar asks, only the wise have eyes in their head? And where do other people have their eyes? So there must be a deeper meaning here. So he explains. There's a commandment that a man should not walk more than 4 cubits without a head covering, without something on his head. What does that mean? There is a candle that the human being represents. The body is the candle, the wick. On top of the wick, on the head of the wick, there's a flame. And in order for the flame to be contained, connected to the wick, you have to have oil. And so the statement, the wise person has his eyes on his in his head, means on his head. He looks and understands what's going on top of his head. And when he looks at his head, then he understands that you have to have oil. That to keep the fire going, you have to have oil. And that's why King Solomon writes, do not fail to have oil for your head. Now the oil that connects God's presence to the body, we would expect to be either the godliness of the godly soul, the holiness of the soul, or the study of Torah. That would serve as oil. Because the body, being the wick, can't contain the godliness. God's presence can't be revealed and connected to the body directly because the body is too coarse. So in order to make that connection, you have to have the intermediary of the oil. So you would think that the oil would be something spiritual. The body can't contain godliness because it's so physical. So the oil you would expect would be something very spiritual. And yet, the Zohar says that what is the oil that your head should always have that contains the Shekhinah, that connects God's presence with the body? The oil are the good deeds that a person does, which means the act of the mitzvah. When a person does the mitzvah, he engages his animal soul more than if he is simply studying Torah with his godly soul. Because without the animal soul, the body doesn't function.
But they make a valid kenyan. There are various shittas in Bereshit. We will not go into that now. However, there is a very basic machlokes over here in the whole concept of this gemara between the The Rishbam says that our Gemara quotes of Kahana's halacha to teach us that although dini dvarim ein li b'nechsayach technically means nothing, if however the item is not his yet, he can waive the right of it coming to him by using this lashon beforehand. And then the Gemara tells us about the Rava. Rava said, "Kol vayim riyavshi b'takanas chachamim kigan zayis shainim lai." What does the Gemara mean to say with the Rava's halacha? That a person can only stop a right that is coming to him coming to him, machmas at the kind of chazal. Chazal, we're only massacring something for your benefit. If you don't want it, don't take it. However, the Gemara wants to impress upon us that if it's a nachla, that is the raisa. If somebody gets an inheritance that is coming to him, machmas the laws of the raisa. Now we are soon going to see all of those halachas later on in this Masech to be as Hashem. Although a person can't waive that right simply by saying, "I don't wish to accept it," that is not a valid statement at all. The Torah says this is coming to you. Unless you give it away as an official present or sell it, it's going to be yours. That is what the Gemara wants to tell us by quoting Rav over here. It is dafka b'takanas chachamim that a person has a right to waive the benefit before it comes to him. And the example is that if one Amar Rav Salacha that Yechayla Isha Shet Yom Alabala Ein Nezaynis, you don't provide for me, V'yein Ayais, and I will not work for you. Taisus, however, stresses a different nekuda. Taisus says the point that the Gemara wants to bring out with it of Kahana's halacha, that nachla habale liyadam imakam achar adam imasna lel shalai yirashem. Is that we would not apply over here the halachis of Ein Adam Makne Davash Leibali Ayla. Generally speaking, the klali is one cannot engage in transactions that are potential. I cannot legally sell something that is going to come to me if I don't have it yet. So if the Baal doesn't have the payers yet, how can he give it away? can you say while she is still in Arusa that I won't take the Peiris? I'm giving them away when it's not even yours yet. So the point that the Gemara wants to show with Rav Kahana is, indeed one can... cannot sell something that is not his yet. If it's only coming to him, if it's only potential. But one can be misalik himself from a benefit if he didn't get it yet. The same way we were masbir, that Hakul Moedin, if she wasn't in Arusa yet, and he would just make a statement in regard to a strange woman, then Yidvarim Ainli bin Achsayach, that statement would have no legal... Should he be Mekadosh, or should he marry her, Vadai, he will get the Peiris of the Nichsei Milut. Because your statement was a statement made with no basis. We would have a half a minute to think that if the Peiris aren't his yet, he can't make that statement as well, because it's not yours. How can you say you're giving something away if it's not yours yet? And therefore, the Gemara tells us, with Rav Kahana's halacha, that a person can do it. If you have a benefit coming to you, although it isn't yours yet, if you have some type of a shaychus with it, like we have in this situation, where she is an Arusa to him, and all he has to do is to marry her in order to make the Peiris his, beforehand he can make a statement to be Masalik himself, and that Silik would be valid. Indeed, after marriage, the Peiris will not belong to him. Al-Kopan, the Allah as we see it now is that a man cannot have a chazaka b'nichsei yishtai, even though he is eating from the peiros of the nichsei meluk, and even though he waived the benefit of eating of those peiros, despite that the fact that she did not protest, his eating of the peiros for 3 years does not indicate to us that she... sold it to him, because sometimes women will not protest what their husbands do, even if technically they don't have a right to do it. Frag the Gemara. Haraya, yes. But suppose... suppose this husband produces Edim, or a valid Shtar Mechira, that she sold the field to him, in that case, it would be his. Frag the Gemara, why? Tema, let... the wife Taina that Biatzam I didn't mean to sell it. He asked me if I wanted to sell it, so I gave in because Nachas Ruach, Sisi Labayli, I wanted to be obliging to my husband. But Lamayas, I never meant to sell it. Milotanan, did we not learn in the Mishnah? Lakach Minoish, if somebody buys something from a husband. And the purchaser now is a little bit hesitant because he is concerned that what happens should this man divorce his wife? or should this man die? And now the woman will collect her ksuba. If the woman would not have where to collect her ksuba from, then whatever the husband sold is also meshubah to that ksuba. So she will come after him. So v'chazav v'lakach minu yishav. So just to ensure himself, he goes and he gives the woman. A little something, a davar muyit, and he says, with this, I am buying the right that you cannot collect from my field. The halacha is mekhoi batel. Now there is a shiloh. Only in the Rishayim, what part of the mekach is batel? The Rishbam says that vadei the actual mechir is a valid mechir. And as long as the woman does not collect the ksuba, then everything is precisely the way we want it to be. This purchaser buys it and he uses the field and its payers. However, that second aspect of the deal, where he made a special arrangement with the wife that she cannot collect from this field that was sold, for her ksuba, this part is bottled. Should there be a divorce, should the husband die, should the woman not have where to collect from, and her only option is to take back this field that he bought, she will be able to take it, although she made a deal that she will not collect from this field. Alma, so we see, Alma nachasru achasis labayli. She can say, listen, my husband sold the field. He was so proud. Now, you were cautious. You were scared what happens if I have to go and collect from this field later on in the event of divorce. So my husband is standing right over here, and you asked me if I would collect from it, so I took something from you, and I consented not to collect. But I really did not mean to be machneit. So the Zogar Pas, they want to be an obliging wife. If that is the case, why does our Mishnah say that the husband just doesn't have a chazakah b'nichsa yishtoi, even if he mamash had a shtar mechira? Hachanami teima, let the woman taina nachazriach, sisi labayli. The only reason I sold it is my husband asked me to sell it, so I should say no, so I sold it to him. But I really did not mean to sell it. The Rishbam points out that although we say to Liu, that if we hang somebody up on a tree and we force him to sell a field and we give him the money, the sale is valid. That is the dafk over there, because this is how Chazal assessed the psychology of a person. If a person mamish has to endure physical pain because of a field, if somebody is torturing him to sell it and he is offering him the full value, so he is goymeri mak and he says, never mind, I don't need the trouble, and he taka gives it away. But that is the dafk when somebody is taka in physical pain. So Itaka wants to get rid of it. He doesn't want it anymore. But when a woman gives something away, says the Rishbam, because she is in a position that she doesn't know how to say no, over here Chazal say no. She is, in a sense, forced to give it away as well, but it's not. That same type of forcing. It's not that same type of pressure. And over here, she is not goymeri makna. And therefore, she can invalidate the mechira later by saying, nachasri achasisi labayli. So if we have this halacha, that lakach menuish v'chazav lakach menuish mekhi batal only because she says, nachasri achasisi labayli, why is the implication from our Mishnah that the Baal just cannot have an effective chazaka b'nechsa yishtai? Apparently, even if he has a shtar mechira, we should not consider the sale valid, because she only does it due to nachas riach. And for the Gemara, no. Generally, we never assume the tiny that I just did it because of a nachas riach lebayli. I was shot on that Mishnah where we say mechli batel, hayit ma'ala, amar abba barafuna. That only applies le'nitzucha ela b'yois and gimel sabbis in regard to three specific types of fields. We will soon see what this comes to exclude. Achas rikas of la b'ksubasa. If the husband sells a field that was clearly designated in the ksuba as the source of payment for her ksuba, although technically all of his fields are meshubah to her, this one mentioned field in the ksuba is an added sense of security to her. If the husband sells that field, he doesn't write it in the shtar, but verbally he designates one field and says, this is yours. Should anything happen to me, should we get divorced, this field will be your payment. Again, all of his nechasim are still neshubah to the ksuba, but she is sort of more confident, knowing that there's one special field. The achav shachnisi lashum nishila, and that means nichsei tzayin basil, as we discussed at the beginning of the shiur. One type of arrangement is when a woman brings in an estate from her father that she inherited from her father, or that was hers, into a marriage. Chazal will write the exact value of that estate into the ksuba. Should this marriage be terminated? Should she leave the marriage? Should the husband die? She will receive the exact value back. Should the husband make profit with this field or take a loss, both the profit and loss will go to the husband. The woman receives the exact value regardless. What she comes in with, that's what she will go out with. So again, all of the... of the husband are still neshubah to her ksuba and to paying up this commitment, but still, she's more secure with this actual field that she brought in. So if the husband sells any one of these fields, it is here that the Rabbi Barafuna says, being that this is her security, should the lekech make a deal with her not to collect from this, she doesn't really mean it. Daf, over here, do we say she only said it because of a nachas ruach? Now, the Gemara continues. Lemiyutemai, what do we come to exclude here? It is the afk over here that we say the woman didn't mean to sell it. Only these three designated fields which she is secure with. Now, ilam lemiyutei shan nechasim, do we mean to say that if the husband sold any one of his other fields, they're not necessarily designated for her payment? And the buyer told the woman, please take this... from me and in return... you will not collect. Over here, it's not nachasulach. Kalskan frekta gemara. Kalskan da havi li eva di omale nechon asat the begation of the misa. Nobody. He's even thinking about a ksuba here. This field has nothing to do with the ksuba. The husband takes the field and sells it. The lekech suddenly is concerned, what happens if the woman has to collect from this? So he says, please sell me your right to collect from my field in the event that that situation would arise. What is she supposed to say? No. The husband's going to say, what's the matter with you? You are so concerned with your right to collect? You think we are getting divorced soon? Do you assume, says the husband, that death is coming? The woman would be in a very difficult position to say no in this type of a case. I will not give you the right. What happens if we are going to be divorced? What happens if my husband dies tomorrow? She has no choice but to say yes. What the Rabbi Barafuna is saying is that even in regard to those other three fields, being that they are officially or unofficially designated for her ksuba, she would be morally right when she says, I would rather not give that away. It doesn't mean that you are thinking of divorce. It's just that these fields were designated for her ksuba. Her ksuba is her security, and therefore she doesn't want to give it away. So I would think in regard to these fields, if she says she is giving it away, she really means it. So the Rabbi would have to know, even in regard to these fields, even though morally she would have a right to refuse it, she still would rather not show the husband that she is concerned with her ksuba. That's why she consents to give up her rights, but she doesn't really mean it. However, in regard to... fields that primarily have no shaychus with the ksuba, of course the woman is in a position where she says, yes, I am not worried about my rights for collecting the ksuba. She doesn't want to offend her. Her husband. So what does Rabbi Barafuna come to exclude? Where don't we say nachas ruach asis lebali? Where do we say the woman really means it when she gives it away? Elanon sakta gemara lemiute nichsei melug, which is our case in the Mishnah. When a woman brings in an estate from her father and it belongs to the woman, it's mamish hers. Should the field be improved, she gets the profit. Should the field be lost, it's her loss. It's just that the husband has the right to eat the peiros, a special benefit that Chazal gave him. Over here, if the husband actually goes and he gives it away to somebody and he sells it, and the buyer now buys off the woman that she should have no claim to it, Vale, the woman would have not been embarrassed at all to say, I don't want to sell my field, it's mamish hers. And over here, if she does not protest the Mechira, she cannot tie in a later Nachasriya Chasisi Labaili, because there would have been no reason for you to be hesitant in this Mechira. It would have not offended anybody if you don't want to sell your own personal field. And if you were maskim to the Mechira Vadi, the Mechira is a good Mechira. And that is the reference of our Mishnah. We're out. Implies, if the husband has a shtar mechira that he actually bought the nechsim look from his wife, the mechira is valid, and she cannot tie, and I just sold it to him because nachas riechasis lebaili, it was mamish your field. You would have morally had the right not to give in. It would not have been an offense. And if you did give it away, the mechira would be a mechira. The only thing that our Mishnah says, if the husband does not have a shtar mechira, all he time is chazaka. My wife didn't stop me from eating the peiros. The fact that your wife didn't stop you from eating the peiros of her field, although you waived your benefit in those peiros, is not an indication that she sold it to you. Because it's common for a wife not to protest what her husband does. And therefore, unless you have a shtar mechira, the chazaka itself will not be valid. Mazin Uisha supporting the woman of the Habanais in those situations. If someone tying his parati, I paid without Adam, although there may not be an existence. And Daf Nun Amir Aleph, about 6 lines.